welcome back to the Rugby Rundown, episode 21, with myself, Will Hooley, and yes, with Alex Corpusiera as well. But you've probably seen the studio move around a little bit because we have a guest presenter with us today, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ryan Mattias.
Mr. Hooley.
Welcome, Ryan. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
It's a little crowded in here.
I just
about fit in the frame. So
this seems
holding it together here.
This is a flight to DC or hell of a front row.
Hell of a front row.
Oh, I don't know about that. Mm. I don't know about that. With two backs in the room. My man. It is so good to have you with us. Obviously, a USA legend, and then obviously MLR's, I say former because that sounds a bit harsh, but one of MLR's favorite sons. Right, it's first of all, like, how are you? How are you in the world of not playing anymore?
I'm not as sore as I used to be, and I've been watching Legion games, and I'm enjoying it from the sideline, but I do miss getting close and sweaty with someone like yourself. But enjoying it, yeah.
Oh, man. So much to talk about with you, Ryan. Also to catch up with Corbs. I know he's fresh off the game from yesterday, so we'll talk about that a little bit later on. How are you, though, buddy? I'm good, mate.
Obviously, my team lost. My picks were garbage. Could have been a better weekend. It's good. It's good to have you both here. You know, see you both flourishing in post-year one retirement, which is not easy as rugby players. So congratulations to both of you, and look forward to today's show, because we've got Lots to talk about.
We really, really do. And here's a list of stuff that we've got to talk about, because not only is Ryan Mattias going to help host this show, we're going to hear a lot from him and what he's up to, but we've also got another special guest, guys, because we got the Rugby Rundown MLR Week 8 action with Noah Brown. Very excited about that. Noah's an absolute star. I know, as a winger, you must be excited to hear from him.
Man, he's the next generation talent. Really excited to see what he's bringing to not only the MLR, but what he can bring to the 15s Eagles.
Yeah. I'm hoping we'll see him in a 15s Eagles shirt soon enough. So lots to hear about him, lots to get through on the MLR front. Then we've also got a special, because coming up on the Rugby Network is CRC Sevens on Friday and Saturday. Yes, TRN is hosting and showing all those games. We got Pat Clifton coming on, journalist, rugby enthusiast with CRC Sevens, talking us through how that is all working, plus a bit of Premiership action as well, Corb's in there. There's been a lot. Have you kept an eye on that?
Yeah, it was an exciting weekend. Tables changing and becoming real dicey. And there's some spicy head-to-head games this weekend as well, because one or two teams are going to go home sad in a couple of weeks. It's mental. Bristol Bears on a run right now as well.
Oh, my word. That was a devastating game, that one against Newcastle. We will talk a little bit about that. And then those Crystal Ball challenges, which, by the way, quick change for this week, go to our YouTube at the Rugby Rundown. We are really going to start using that, and the predictions and previews for week 9 coming up are going to be on there. That's with the three of us. So make sure you go to the YouTube to go and catch them, as we will have that outside of this episode. Boys, should we get into it then? And let's start talking to our good friend here, Ryan Mattias.
All right, Ryan, seeing as we have you on the show in person, let's get into it a little bit. Tell us a little bit about what you're up to now in this retirement stage. You've packed up rugby and you've got a lot of exciting things going on, and some real, in my opinion, some of the good gospel work of rugby that needs to be spread around America right now.
I was fortunate enough to, I'd coached youth rugby pretty much my entire career, from starting in Tucson, Arizona, to New Zealand, to New York City, and now here in San Diego. And then that's ultimately culminated to an opportunity with the Imagine Rugby program with the Legion Community Foundation. It's basically rugby awareness, spreading the good gospel of rugby, and going into schools all around San Diego with a handful of other Legion guys, and teaching rugby awareness. Flag rugby, co-ed with a state-aligned curriculum. It's been incredible. It really has been, to be able to introduce someone to this beautiful sport that has obviously given all of us so much, but to be the person that introduces them to that for the very first time, I take a lot of pride in that, because of what I know it can blossom and grow into, and obviously how much we all love it and where it can go.
Talk to us a little bit about, though, the program and its goals, because there's numbers that get thrown out there. Mm. I know, obviously, 2031, 2033 on the horizon, and growing this game in this country, we all know, is tough.
Yeah.
And it also is tough wherever you are. California's a big hub for rugby. How have you found those goals and what are they for you and this Imagine Rugby program?
I mean, the reality is our motto is get a rugby ball into every kid's hand all across America. That's what we're aiming for. It is a big mountain to climb, but outside of that is just growing that pyramid base, you know, from a high performance standard. We all know what the top looks like, right? There's the Eagles and there's the MLR, you know, the San Diego Legion, but how do we get there? We're trying to grow that bottom base of the pyramid, widen the funnel, cast a larger net, whatever you want to call it, rugby awareness, to get people interested not only in a high performance standard or playing or chasing rugby, but also becoming fans of it, right? We want to fill that stadium. And the exciting thing about, you know, what I'm doing right now is I get to work on widening that base. And then I also get an opportunity to work with our academies. So under 14s, under 16s, we're doing a girls academy as well.
That's amazing.
So it's exciting because I get to do the introductory part of, you know, the culture, the sport. And then I also get to work on a bit of the high performance side of helping kids chase their aspirations of being an Eagle or playing in the MLR.
Well, I can't think of a more passionate person
literally the best
to
guy
either
guy.
Introduce literally someone the to the sport guy. Of rugby or to maybe help push them on their journey as well as they're chasing their dreams. How has it been going so far? Like, how is the program? It's obviously the first year. Talk to us through some of the growth and what you guys have done so far.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've gotten into over, you know, 140 schools in like 7-8 months, and over 45,000 students have gotten a rugby ball in their hand for the very first time.
That's brilliant.
Just in San Diego. You know, the work of, you know, Ryan Patterson, CJ Hussman, Kylie Wetzel, I mean, Mikey Tail, I mean, the list of people pushing this thing in all directions, all across the country. It's incredibly inspiring to have people who understand and see the long-term vision of where this sport can grow and where it can go. But the response from teachers and school programs who are interacting with our culture for the first time, they're just blown away by the level of love and care and hospitality and humbleness and respect and these sorts of things that we all, you know, live by. You have to live by things. You guys live by these things as international athletes, but to be able to break that down and show that to a first-time rugby player or someone getting introduced to the first time, they're surprised that our athletes are as humble as they are.
This is almost a bit of a ridiculous question, to keeping it simple. Can we do it? Can we get to the numbers that we want to try and get to growing in this country? Is this sport growing in your eyes? And can you see it in terms of its projection going forward as well?
Absolutely. And I say that with confidence because I've seen, you know, I think the age-old question, how do we grow rugby in America? Where does it need to happen? And in my opinion, you know, some people say, is it club or is it school? And it's both.
Just like
in basketball, just like in football, baseball, you have your school sports and you have your club sports. For the same reason why, you know, parents want to, you know, it's a one-stop shop at the school, right? You drop them off in the morning, they go to school, they can get their varsity letter, they get their letterman jacket, whatever. It's all there. Everyone's verified, certified, all that. And then they can pick them up and go home. And the parents know, I can go knock on this door if something goes wrong, right? And that's ultimately been the issue with club programs is people go like, well, you just show up at a park and then you go away. Well, you guys grew up in an institution where, no, there's a clubhouse. And so that's where the disconnect has been, right? And now that schools are being able to provide like state-aligned curriculum and have school rugby teams, the parents are really getting behind it and it's much more comfortable to a system that they know that they grew up in. They played school sports. They played for their school. And that's as prideful as playing for your club. And obviously you guys grew up in school systems as well where you played for your school. And then, you know, so that I think is the big turning of the tide.
Huge game changer. And you've actually even been able to partner with school districts as well, haven't you? Like Escondido, I believe.
Yeah.
Which is just groundbreaking for the sport, for Legion, for the whole program in your first year, already having relationships and projects like that. Like, talk a little bit about that and how exciting that is for the future.
Yeah, I mean, being able to do a league with a school district has been one of the first of its kind, if not the first. Rugby historians, please let me know if I'm wrong here. but yeah, having the backing of a school district, and it was essentially what got it over the line is we bring this new sport. We're sitting in this room. And they're like, why do we want this? Why should we allow this thing to be a part of what we do? And what got it over the line was the personal development, the growth, respect, accountability, all those sorts of things that will help you not only on the field, but off the field. And we teach those through sport, right? And that was ultimately what they said, okay, let's do this.
Changing the direction a little bit, it's amazing what you're doing and you have so much passion in it because you were so part of it. I don't want to touch a little bit about your career because for anyone that knows Ryan Mattis, and I'm sure everyone across American rugby does know you, because you were, man, you were such a big part of it, both involved in sevens and 15s at the Legion, over 50 appearances, 50 caps. Do you miss it?
Yeah, you know, I think there's aspects of it that I do miss. It's the camaraderie, being around the boys, the coffee chats, that sort of piece. But my knees are very happy that I'm on the sideline. I'm excited at the opportunities that I am in now. You know, as a player, my motto was from when I kind of decided I was going to be a professional athlete, I was like, I want to leave it all out there. I want to chase the 1%. So I'll, you know, eat my veggies. I'll do my lifts. I'll do my runs. I'll do whatever it is that I need to do, because when it was all going to be said and done, when I walked off the field for that final time, I never knew when it would be. You always kind of think it would be on your terms. And thankfully it was on my terms, but I didn't want to have a stone unturned. I didn't want to look at myself in the mirror and say, you left a little bit out there. That you know, 12-year-old, 14-year-old Ryan who would have given anything to be here. I always tried to keep that fresh in my mind so that when I did walk away, I went, whatever you got is whatever you got, and you did everything you could. So very happy to be on the sideline again, but seeing those hits and stuff, I'm just like, awesome, you guys go. I'll be cheering for you. Don't want to be in there anymore.
Well, that leads on, and I'm going to just jump in there again because that does lead on to San Diego Legion. The fact that I'm sat here, yes, I'm a former Legionnaire. Yes, you're a former Legionnaire, very much part of it. We have a current coach as well. Only right that we look at the now in terms of what Legion's doing. So much good off the field and on the field as well. Obviously, you say you don't mind missing those big hits and whatever. You would have seen that yesterday, San Diego playing Utah. Probably a good moment to get a quick bit from you in terms of looking at the new team now, like how'd they look? Yes, the loss against Utah, of course, we'll come to you in a minute, but from your point of view, like how is it seeing those boys? How do you feel they're going to go this season?
Yeah, you know, I think it's, you know, we had a lot of new players come in. There's always that cohesiveness that happens. You know, we've had a pretty good start, 5-1 to going into this past weekend. And, you know, just couple mistakes, couple calls, you know, bounce of the ball. We've been playing teams close, which, you know, a win is a win. Very happy about that. I think there's a lot that teams can take away from having close wins and having pressure games, you know, this early on in the season. We've had quite a few. And I think that really galvanizes a team personally. And, you know, I know that they're going to, you know, there was a more than half the team in the gym this morning, getting back at it, guys who were playing yesterday. So I know that they're going to bounce back strong, and you know, it's going to be an exciting cracker here in Houston coming up this weekend.
Corbs, that game yesterday, man, we'll come on to the rest of the MLR games. I feel it's a nice way of just coming in towards a loss, 33-32 against Utah. Hell of a performance from Utah in many aspects. Was it a game that got away from San Diego? Is it kind of reviewed a bit like that?
I don't want to take anything away from Utah first. So, like, I don't want to say, oh, it's a game that got away from us, because I think the difference is they deserve to win. They took their chances. Mm. And I think when you play games, it's not about how much you create, it's about how much you execute and how accurate you are. And they are by far the more accurate of the two teams. I do think we let ourselves down with at least 4 or 5 missed try scoring opportunities in the first half, which could have made it look a very different game, because instead of chasing, we would have been actually being able to apply pressure and not be in a bit more of a desperation chase mode, which then can sometimes open you up to more points elsewhere and other things as well. So I think there's a mirror that we got to look into and say, listen, we don't deserve to beat anyone at Snapdragon. We have to earn the right. And we didn't, by not getting over the try line when we created, you know, 4 or 5 clean line breaks, we didn't score one of them. And that to me is the difference in the two teams, where Utah, full credit to them, they had a few strike plays where they you know, used real good variation with Paul Asike instead of, you know, he's been a bowling
just
ball
the little tips
all season, but his soft hands good. Before yeah. the lines caught us out three first fave strike move yeah. tries. Yeah, and, yeah. and, you know, that's what they did well and they why they deserve to win that game. But we got to roll our sleeves up and get our act together, especially in these first halves, or we're not going to be as successful as we want to be this year.
Especially when coming to Houston. Right, Guy, you know about going to Houston, my man. That's a tough place to go. That is our clash of the week. We're trying to mold this all into one with you. I want to get from your perspective. Houston Sabercats come on to there. They got a great win at DC, but the Legion go now to Houston, the clash of the week. Tough ask.
Oh, man. I mean, we all know where it's going to be won or lost. It's in the forwards. We know that Houston forwards like to get around the corner and get around the corner and then get around the corner again yep. and then get around the corner. But not to take away from, they have some very dangerous backs. I mean, you know.
David Kutz is on fire.
Yeah,
the likes of AJ Alatimu. Top quality threat. Players.
No, seriously, they are. And from what I've been watching so far, I mean, I've actually been very impressed with Ronan Murphy.
Yes,
I think he's come on quite well.
He's been a
St. Mary's product. Also played for the Casanovas in the Rugby Town Invitational.
Get it in there.
he's definitely going to be one to stop to make sure this Houston pack gets derailed.
And just a forward pack, whatever, they've got all the tools, the best Houston team that's ever played, well coached, have depth, rotation. It's going to be a roll your sleeves up and, you know, fight for 80 minutes type of job from us if we're going to be able to pull off a result that we want. So no bones about it. We're coming, Houston, but we respect you. It's going to be a tough game. You're a good side.
That's going to be the clash of the week that's coming up this weekend on the Rugby Network. And as I say, all those previews and predictions will be on YouTube for week 9. But let's get into now the rest of the results from the weekend in MLR Week 8 action. Across the board, some big, big results. Right, well, it started with our Clash of the Week, Corbs, because the New England Free Jacks at home against Seattle. Seattle had to travel all that way, play at 2 p.m. on an Eastern time zone. So that's 11 a.m. for the Pacific time zone. And they went and did a job. I have to say, I was incredibly impressed. Numerous individuals stood out for me, the likes of Joe Taufete, who just can't put a bad game in at the moment. Rickard Hatting as well. I think the two new signings, Divian Rousseau and Mac Mason, are just brilliant for the Seawolves. And in the end, deserved winners, Corbs. And getting a 29-21 victory at the reigning champions. Yep, yeah, they're the best team at the moment in MLR, I would say.
I think that was a statement, and I agree. I think, you know, a lot of when you play big games like that, a lot of it starts up front, and I think Seattle set the tone early. Like, they were magnificent up front. I think their scrum, their forward game, and they had some real key defensive moments early on where I thought, you know, a lot of teams can't defend the Free Jacks because they
scrambled well.
They're a money attack. They have loads of variety options. Play at pace, and I thought Seattle really defended well as well and then took their chances, and you've got Mac Mason, just his boot, his ability to control. I thought it was a really complete performance and probably, in my mind, the most complete performance any team's put out this season in the MLR yet. And I thought it was a pretty big statement from Seattle.
Who's their best team?
Yeah. Like, yeah,
genuine threats.
Yeah, Mooneyham, Footy, Poole.
Connor Mooneyham is back as well. You know, great.
Was it Lopetti on the bench?
It's
impressive.
Very
it's impressive.
And that's, I think that's the biggest thing. Now I can actually sit here as a fan and watch. It's like the league is getting so competitive across the board.
Yes.
It's like almost like every team is like dang near like an all-star team, really.
Yeah.
And it's starting to get that way. And I mean, you see the results being extremely competitive, but like, again, Seattle's a perfect example. Like, who is their best team?
Yeah, no. Yeah, they really are quality, top of the tree at the moment. Let's get through the other results relatively quickly. NOLA were at home to Miami. Mm. And Corbs, well, I was going to come right at the end to try and just say that I got
you called
predictions
it,
over to you.
You called
but this one I got right. Miami, very strong. It was a matter of time they were going to put in a good performance or a really strong performance. Really impressed by that Michael Hand on the wing. He's actually loaned from Chicago.
Yeah.
And that's a great little move from Chicago, given game time. NOLA, they have had some injuries recently, but Miami's strong. Strong across the board. Impressive win.
Yeah, very, very impressive. NOLA hung in there for a while and you weren't sure which way it was going to go. I think Miami missed a few chances earlier and you're like, oh. And then Miami just eventually took control. NOLA just falling off the pace. They are just not a second half team at the moment.
So DC, Houston, because we just heard about, talked about Sabercats. Mm. You were saying how much of a lethal threat they are across the board. Houston with a really impressive 38 points to 17 win in DC. I commentated on this game and they were just clinical. Disappointing from DC. Gonna say it now. First half, so many errors. Simon Cross even said after the game that they were their own worst enemy.
Yeah, first half.
And Houston, in the end, though, doing that travel, getting it done with a 5-point win. You were saying earlier, impressed by the Sabercats.
Mm. Houston looked very good. I think those two on the West, and then you got Free Jacks and Chicago on the East, mm. sort of sticking their hands up at the moment. You know, DC. I picture guys, I regretted it as soon as I saw that first half and how they came out. It's tough for DC. They've obviously had some injuries here and there. You know, they had is it Nico Jones who went back to Super Rugby, but they signed Stevie Longwell, who's coming back from Bristol.
Yeah, that's big.
Who was good for them a few years ago and he's been going well in the Prem. So, you know, you hope that they're able to rally. They get Fanana Schultz back soon from his ban, I believe, as well, which will all help.
Shame indeed. Tell you what, it was not a shame with Chicago. Chicago are now back on fire. I say back on fire. I feel like they are now on fire. In the last 3 weeks, they've had big wins, 54 points to 31. And this one, the dog, Nate Osberg with a hat trick. Gave him man of the match. How could I not? He was everywhere in that game. Strong performances from Ben Landry. Mason Flesch. He's an absolute pickup. The former Toronto man, Canadian, playing back row, second row. He is a brilliant player. And then there's also a certain Noah Brown, which we'll talk about in a minute. But for you, you know plenty of those players in that Chicago team.
Too many of them.
Finally, Billy 12 trees. Billy Meeks at 12. They just seem to be cooking.
Back at home. You see, you know, the likes of glimpses of the LA Giltinis,
ooh.
You know, splashing about there with him at 12.
Star-studded.
It is a star-studded cast. And, no, excited for Chicago. I mean, that's a big result for them. I know that they've been working towards that. Again, we talk about how long it takes for a team to really find their feet. And, you know, they had a tough year last year, but, you know, you love to see this result. Obviously, love to see the dog getting over the line.
Yeah.
But I think it's because he shaved his face. He did look a little bit younger, didn't he?
I think he looked a bit younger, a little bit faster.
You got slick hands from the butcher. I mean, you know, he's anywhere the ball is or the try line, you're going to find the butcher. He's going to be cutting it up.
Absolutely.
I think we said about Chicago, like, their nuts and bolts have been good for a while. Mm. It was really their attack, which we had question marks over. Well, I think these last three games or so, they've shown that their attack's found its form, clicking. They're going to be a handful. Now that that's clicking, they already had strong areas of their game. They're showing the promise that we all knew was potential when we saw the team on paper in the in the off-season, and they're really starting to hit their stride. So it kind of makes the East, you know, at least has a few
1 point
few
now
dogs,
behind Free Jacks.
No pun intended in that division.
Literally 1 point behind Free Jacks. Quick look here now coming up is the leaderboard. Obviously, Seattle, they sit right on the top of the tree in the West. And then it's getting tight. Utah Warriors with that win. They come up towards the top four, of course. Legion drop down a place. And then Houston jump up a place. In the East, it's very much New England Free Jacks that are in front with Chicago just underneath them. DC and NOLA, they've got to do some catching up. Now, we were talking a lot about Chicago, and I actually now want to talk about a young man who has taken them by storm, a draftee, the overall fourth round draftee pick in 2023. Noah Brown is having a season of all seasons so far. I don't want to say too soon. But we decided, Corbs and I, to come and sit down with the youngster to see how he's getting on, how he's settling in, and what's his aspirations as a winger. You'll know all about it as a winger wanting to make some big strides in MLR this year. Yes, I'm here with Noah Brown. Now, you are in sensational form, buddy. I think anyone who's watching MLR at the moment will know the name Noah Brown. I'm sure Chicago Hounds are very happy with how you're playing. You're looking comfortable out there. How are you enjoying your first MLR season?
You know, I'm loving it. And I think part of that comfortability is coming from the guys around me, like Nate Osberger, Dave Carney, Julian Dominguez, Billy Meeks. Like, the list goes on with the guys around me that can make me feel comfortable out there. And I think a part of me coming into form is just based on training with those guys and getting those professional looks day in, day out in training. So
let's talk about Nate Dogg, because I know him well as well, having played with him many times, good pal of mine. How good is it learning off someone like him, both not just on the field but also as a professional off it as well?
Look, he's like such a mentor to especially like a American guy like me, seeing the way he's had his career and is continuing to have his career, and he's just like the complete professional, be it whether he's recovering or just getting around the boys, answering questions, getting up and doing like whiteboard sessions with us. Like, there's just so much to learn from that guy. He's just all class.
I love it. And in terms of the Chicago setup as well, are you enjoying being around Sam Harris, Dave Clancy as well, the attack coach? You guys are finally starting to find some form. A brilliant win on the weekend. I actually covered that game against LA, and you got a try in there as well. Three tries, I think, already in your MLR career, but the Chicago Hounds feel like you're finding your gears now.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that the attack coach, Dave Clancy, has a lot to do with the success right now. I don't know the exact stats, but during the LA game, we outscored our opponents like 90-something to 30. So we're hissing right now. And I really like, we're playing the Irish style of footy where the wings are super active. And that's like very conducive to my game because I love to be in the mix. I love to have my nose and things. So being able to work off my wing and come across the field and make plays is awesome to me.
Now, work rate is something that you're very used to because you come from a USA Sevens background and now into the 15s game. How useful has it been for you coming from Sevens and having all that skill set?
Oh, yeah, so good. Like, especially in just open play, open field, like, I feel very comfortable there. There are some things that kind of take away from it, especially like in the beginning when I was just like so sevens focused, just switching the mindset over to 15s, more of a territory game. And the like defensive pictures just move a lot faster because you have less time. There's so many people around, but no, I'm getting so comfortable with it as the weeks go by. And I think sevens is a great platform for players to like just round themselves out, get into 15s or just continue with sevens. But I think sevens is a fantastic avenue to get into rugby in general.
Now, we were talking about how you feel you're one of the first of the generation coming through this professional system in the US. Obviously, you came through the draft system here in Major League Rugby. Just tell us a little bit about how that experience was. And I also want to hear a little bit about your Indiana University days. Great to have Bryce Campbell inside you, another IU boy as well. You know, how has it been for you in your journey to the point you are today playing for the Hounds?
It's been interesting, especially since I was with the USA Sevens for like a couple of years before I entered the draft, like during my college days. And so when I kind of decided on going into the draft, it was like a new step in the journey, but I've actually really enjoyed it. And I think that guys like Bobby Dice, Bryce Campbell coming through IU and kind of setting the platform for what can be done as an American is just so good for us younger guys to see and kind of base our like career paths and modify to excel the next levels.
And what would you say for those draftees this year coming into it? What bits of advice would you give them? You know, you've done it. You're now really in the thick of it. What are the things you would say to them?
I would just say wherever you go, there's going to be fantastic guys around you with loads of experience. So just soak up as much and learn as viciously as possible. I mean, that's what I do with Dave Carney and Nate Osberger and Julian. I just pick their brains constantly just because they have this vast pool of knowledge that you can just pick up so much off the game, add a little nugget to yours, and that's how you progress there.
Now, one of those big competitions in those university college days for you, I want to get a little snippet in terms of CRC Sevens, because the CRC Sevens is coming up actually on the Rugby Network this weekend.
Yep.
How important was your collegiate rugby days and maybe even that tournament to building you through the ranks?
It's so good. so good. Playing in CRC Sevens tournaments like that was the thing that got me scouted to go to USA Sevens. So I think those opportunities for young guys, especially Americans, is so good to get us in those pathways. And you can play against these fantastic teams from all over the country. And I'm really excited to see the IU boys go out there this weekend. I have some of my really close friends playing on the weekend, so I'll be tuning in for sure.
Now, in terms of, it's interesting you say that transition into USA Rugby Sevens. I want to know now a little bit in terms of your goals and aspirations for the future, because surely you want to get on Scott Lawrence's radar with the 15s and USA Eagles. Have you had a chat with Scott maybe recently? Is it something that you're trying to aim for maybe even this year? Try and get a first Eagles cap?
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of model my career at the moment from Nate Osberger, like the way he was in the USA Sevens pathways, played on the team for a while, and then he went to USA 15s. I think I'm the type of player that can do both like he did. And obviously I have the highest aspirations for myself. I back myself 100%. And I think I'm a player that could play in the Olympics and then could play in the World Cup. Like, I think
that's insane, by the way,
be that type of player. But yeah, it's good. And I actually have chatted to Scott recently. We're just trying to figure out what is best for me at the moment with like kind of competing with sevens and 15s and the Olympics. So we're kind of working that through, but we have chatted about coming in and at least training with the squad at the moment. So it's good.
Mate, that is so exciting for you. So exciting your whole future as an American talent to have an Olympic Games in LA 2028 and then a World Cup in 2031. But let me just finish this off by the focus of the here and now. You're finding your feet. You're getting in that starting team for the Hounds. The Hounds are ticking. What is your goals? What is your aspiration in terms of for the team? It now feels like in the East, you're creeping towards the Free Jacks. I mean, you'll have a bye week, but when you come back, what's the aims?
We have loads of goals over here. Not a day goes by that we don't think about the Shield in August. So, and I think it's been tough for us because we played the likes of Seattle and the Free Jacks and just narrowly lost those games when I feel like we've been in the driver's seat for most of it. So those are tough. And then now we're starting to turn the gears. And as long as we keep continuing to peak at the right time, I think we'll be good to set up for a final in August. So I'm very excited about that. My personal goal is like I'm fighting for the Rookie of the Year at the moment. That's what's on my mind the most.
Love it.
So like just got to keep staying in week in, week out, and hopefully that comes through.
Man, you're doing so well. You're hard not to spot with your bleach blonde hair in there as well. Don't worry, the commentators notice. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep battling hard. Stay close to Nate Augsburger and you'll be very fine. Noah, wishing you well for the rest of the season, my man. And I'd love to see you in an Eagles shirt soon enough. Take care.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay, that is it. Episode 21. It's been an absolute joy. Finally, we can breathe. We can get away from each other. I feel like we're sweating so close to this point. And thank you so much to Ryan Mattias for joining us on the Rugby Rundown. I hope you enjoyed yourself, man.
I did. Yeah, no, I did. I like I said, I've been a fan of this show. I've been watching ever since you guys started. So
appreciate it.
Watching all the picks, watching the predictions. I'm just thankful that you guys allowed me to enter your dojo.
Pleasure. Cool.
Pleasure.
Good
mate.
To see you again, man. Big one, Houston away. Let's go.
Sleeves are ready to get rolled up and get to work, mate. Don't worry.
Right
here we go.
Right here.
We appreciate you watching. Make sure you follow us on our socials at Rugby Rundown TRN and keep an eye on all those things coming up from us all here. Thank you. See you next week. Thank you for listening to the Rugby Rundown episode 21, where this has not been the full episode because the full episode is on the Rugby Network. That's right, there is more. There is CRC Sevens action where I sit down and interview Pat Clifton, and there's also the Premiership Rundown. So make sure you go to the Rugby Network to catch the full episode number 21 in the books. Please leave a review, rate this podcast. We really appreciate it. And come back for more on the Rugby Rundown.